what data should be collected? Data collection is an integral part of any surveillance program and requires a large daily time investment by the IP. However, IPs are not solely responsible for collecting data and information. Rather, IPs should draw on their IDT for support in data collection. Bringing in frontline staff will also facilitate the timely collection of a broad range of relevant data. Surveillance programs should monitor events and processes, both of which can generate information that can be used to guide PI programs and risk assessments. The primary goal for all surveillance programs is to reduce the number of HAIs and improve resident care. Ideally, the data collected will be converted into a compliance rate. For example, if there are 10 total steps required to complete daily room cleanings and staff are observed following 8 of those steps, then the compliance rate would be 80%. This rate is arrived at by dividing the number of observed steps by the number of required ones and then multiplying the result by 100. That is, 8/10 equals 0.8 and 0. Multiplied by 100 equals 80. Infection surveillance information should be collected on a routine, systematic, and ongoing basis. It is best for surveillance to be prospective or concurrent, that is collected in real time, rather than retrospective, that is after the fact. However, it is important to recognize the value of historical data in identifying trends and patterns. LTC surveillance often requires IPs to collect information not only from multiple departments within the facility, but also from different companies and locations. This is because most LTC facilities have contracted services, such as pharmacies and laboratories. Collecting laboratory and pharmacy information from different companies in different locations can prove challenging and time-consuming. To make this process easier and less demanding, the IP should establish a schedule for routine deliveries of laboratory results and antimicrobial prescriptions, as this provides some predictability to the data collection process, freeing up more time for analysis. Having reports automatically generated and routinely delivered to the IP is the preferred method. Surveillance data should be collected on a routine, systematic, and ongoing basis. The entire IDT should be involved in data collection. Types of data. An IP should be familiar with the different types of data they will have to collect and understand. There are two primary types, qualitative and quantitative. Quantitative data are numeric, that is, they are collected by counting people, behaviors, conditions, infections, etc. They can be used to make comparisons. Quantitative data can be further classified as discrete or continuous. Discrete data contain whole numbers and represent a finite number of values, for example, the number of residents admitted to a unit on a given day. Discrete data are counted. Continuous data contain whole numbers, decimals, or percentages that can be measured on a continuum or scale and can have numeric values between minimum and maximum values, a continuum, for example, resident age, infection rates, or temperatures. Continuous data are measured rather than counted, for example, the standardized infection ratio, SIR, versus the infection rate over a 2-year period. Continuous data may contain whole numbers, decimals, or percentages. Note, when the CDC has enough LTC facilities reporting into NHSN, they calculate SIRS, which allows IPs to compare infection rates with other, similar facilities. Qualitative data include all data that are non-numeric. They use words to describe healthcare events. Examples of qualitative variables include resident blood type, that is A, B, AB, O, and infection status, infected, not infected. Categorical data are data that fit into mutually exclusive groups, for example, sex, age group, and organism. It is easy to make quantitative data categorical, such as transforming age and years into age groups. Surveillance data, sources, and collection. Surveillance data can be broken down into demographic, event, process, and time categories, each of which can contain a mixture of qualitative and quantitative data. Demographic data is socioeconomic in nature. For the purposes of healthcare surveillance, this includes information related to the population makeup of the healthcare facility. Are they a resident or HCP? What is their age, sex, and ethnicity? Where are they located, unit, wing, room, at the time of infection as well as their bed history prior to infection? Demographic data is critical when considering health equity and helps promote quality initiatives to address equity disparities. For example, when race, geography, income, and other factors have a relationship with infection rates or vaccination rates that vary across a community, as happened during the COVID-19 pandemic, responses can be tailored to address the most significantly impacted or at-risk community more specifically. Knowing resident location, whether in the facility or more broadly by city or region, can help identify where infections and outbreaks occur, where certain procedures take place, and where residents reside. The patient's profession might also be useful when investigating outbreaks by informing the IP's understanding of where and how an infection or disease is being transmitted. And while employment data might not be as relevant for residents of an LTC facility, knowing departmental data about HCP infections could reveal information related to location-specific issues. The IP will also collect information based on event data, specifically high-volume, high-risk events in the healthcare facility. These can include HAIs, example, bloodstream, urinary tract, pneumonia, surgical site, conjunctivitis, upper respiratory tract, skin and soft tissue, or local intravenous site. There are four major categories for HAI surveillance: central line associated bloodstream infections, CLABSIs; catheter associated urinary tract infections, CAUTIAs; surgical site infections, SSIs; ventilator associated events, VAE/healthcare associated pneumonia, HCAP; colonization or infection by a specific organism, example, C. difficile, MRSA, or other EMDROS; Sharps injuries, communicable diseases, or body fluid exposures in HCP; tuberculin skin test/TB blood test conversion rates in HCP; influenza immunization rates in HCP and residents; pneumococcal immunization rates in residents; COVID immunization rates in residents and HCP; hepatitis B immunization rates in HCP; levels of illness/infection among HCP; potential outbreak/pandemic/bioterrorism organisms; quality assurance test results, example, sterilizers and disinfectants are working as expected, negative airflow in isolation rooms is functioning properly. Each area of surveillance will have specific surveillance requirements. For example, for SSIs, surveillance depends on the type of surgical procedure. Procedures involving implants typically have a 90-day surveillance period, while others have a 30-day period. Superficial infections are determined within the first 30 days from the date of a surgical procedure, while deep, involving muscle and fascia, and organ space, below the fascia, SSIs may take up to 90 days to be clinically discernible. Due to the trend of shorter inpatient care, some of this surveillance may need to occur in an outpatient setting. Information related to the policies and procedures followed in the facility is known as process data. These can include standard precautions, isolation/transmission-based precautions, central line insertion, maintenance, and removal, urinary catheter insertion care and removal, safe injection and medication handling practices, antimicrobial prescribing and administration, environmental cleaning and disinfection, communicable disease reporting, installing and maintaining barriers during construction and renovation projects. Finally, in order to generate useful and actionable information, a surveillance program must be bound by time data. Typically, the measure of time should be in months, quarters, or years. By binding data by time, the IP can better analyze changes over time as well as establish a manageable time frame for investigation. Different facilities will have different data and information requirements based on their specific objectives, needs, and scope of service. An LTC facility will have different information needs than a hospital because each has a different set of risks that it is monitoring and attempting to mitigate. Therefore, there are several factors that will inform the data an IP might choose to collect during surveillance. Some of these factors include populations being studied, including residents and HCP; procedures performed and services provided; acuity of care; a risk assessment that identifies risk factors for infection and other adverse events in the population studied; state, national, accrediting, and other relevant agency requirements, including mandatory reporting requirements; available resources, both personnel and non-personnel; availability of the data required; public health needs; performance improvement initiatives; organizational objectives,